time is our most valuable resource. And it goes by fast. Before you know it, it's too late. So I would really urge the next time you think of going on that lavish trip, take that money that you would have spent, put it into another account, don't touch that, and then build it up and then invest.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. On today's Finance Friday episode, this is part one of a part six series. I'm going to be going over financial freedom and what I feel is the right steps needed to take, the right mindset shifts that are needed to take, the top six to achieve financial freedom. And I'm not just pulling this out of the air. This comes from my experience in the financial services industry, comes from my experience investing in commercial real estate, both from my personal experiences and then rubbing, you know, elbows with other successful men and women in the industry, as well as other successful men and women in all different types of businesses. And then also just researching the great business leaders of our times. And financial freedom is not to become the wealthiest person on the planet. Financial freedom is different for every person. So let's just give a quick definition. So financial freedom is being able to generate enough passive income to meet your life obligations. So to meet your lifestyle. You know, this number can be different for everyone. It could be $5,000 a month, $10,000 a month, could even be $100,000 a month or more. It all depends what you're trying to achieve in life. And true financial freedom relieves the stress of any type of financial burden. So you can just go out there and pursue your passions. And like I said, it's different for everyone. Some people, maybe they want to travel the world. Maybe they want to start a business that they're passionate about. Maybe they want to give back to their community, both time and with money. Maybe they want to go travel and help less fortunate people. Maybe it's a combination of all those things. And financial freedom allows people to do that. It also just gives you a little extra security. Like maybe some people want to obtain financial freedom to leave their job. Some people don't. Some people love their job, but they want financial freedom in the sense that if they had to leave their job because of a circumstance that arose, or maybe they were let go, or maybe the business went under, that they have that safety blanket, that they have the financial freedom for if something was like that was to happen, they can continue living the same lifestyle they were before. So that's financial freedom. And so I'm going to go over the next six episodes. I'm going to go over what I feel based on my experience and the research I've done. It seems like all successful people who've been able to achieve financial freedom have met these six steps on their way to it. So step number one, buy assets first. And for those of you that aren't familiar with the term asset, or we can go over a definition, simply a useful or valuable thing, person, or quality. When it comes to investing, it's property owned by a person or company regarded as having value and available to meet debts, commitments, or legacies. So for instance, an asset can be a stock, a bond, a mutual fund, a business, piece of real estate, artwork, trading cards. These days, Pokemon cards and NFTs are big things. Those are assets. Collectible cars are assets. So the whole premise of buy assets first. For those of you that aren't familiar, the Rich Dad Poor Dad book, if you're watching this, you can see it above my shoulder over here. If I get my finger in the right place, Rich Dad Poor Dad, or commonly known as the Purple Bible. He talks about buying assets and he says the wealthy buy assets and the poor buy liabilities. And it's important. I'm not going to be here. I'm not the type of person to say don't buy liabilities. And by liabilities, I mean like car, going on lavish vacations, going out to the expensive dinners and bars and restaurants. And clubs, excuse me, multiple times a month. I'm not the person that's going to tell you, don't do that. That's not my personality. I'd be lying if I told you that's what I did, because that's not. But it is important to take care of your finances first before you do those things. So buy assets first and let them pay for your liabilities. So for instance, you want to go on a lavish trip, maybe once a quarter or more. Maybe you want to buy that really nice car you've been dreaming about, or that nice, beautiful home, or you just want to be able to give back to your community and you need money and time to do that. Well, it's important to get your finances in order. So buy assets first that will pay for those things. The second part of this financial freedom journey, I don't want to get too much into it, but it talks about giving yourself time before you buy those liabilities. Like, don't go buy that first asset and then go buy the liabilities, because if you do that, you're just going to be stuck in the same place. So for me, assets that I buy are commercial real estate, specifically apartment communities, and those will pay for my liabilities. Because what happens is if you go, say, let's talk about cars, because I love cars. Say you go buy a car, unless it's some rare car that's going to appreciate in value, it's going to depreciate. So you buy it off a lot. And the old joke is you buy it off a lot, it depreciates 30%. But realistically, it's probably like within a year, it's going to depreciate anywhere from 20 to 30%. So it's a $100,000 car, just use a round number, depreciates 20 to 30%. So now the value of that car is $70,000, $80,000. That's money you just lost. You essentially could have just burned $20,000 to $30,000. Yes, I get it. That's an experience. You enjoy the car. But if you don't have your finances in order, then you're just going to be perpetually kicking that can down the road and not getting or not having that cushion to take care of your family, to take care of your community, to take care of yourself. So what I would do is you can buy an investment property that would then pay for the payment on that car. So what then happens is you buy that car, finance it. Yes, it depreciates in the first year and then continues to depreciate, but you're using the cash flow from your rental property to pay for that, while in turn, that cash flow is also covering the mortgage of the property. So it's paying down the debt, which we call amortization, which your tenants are paying down the debt while increasing your equity. So over time, then you go sell that car, trade in for something else. But you still have that asset, which you now have been growing equity in. So now you have even more cash. You don't realize it until you sell or refinance, but you didn't just burn $20,000 to $30,000. So now maybe you go sell that property and trade up into a bigger property. Now that's cash flowing even more. And you can afford maybe a nicer car, or maybe you wait and just save up your money and then trade up into another property or buy another property and add to your portfolio. Now you're cash flowing enough where you can do multiple things. You can take your family on vacation and give back to your community. You can donate monthly to that nonprofit that means so much to you. It's important to think about these things because, as we know, time is our most valuable resource. It goes by fast. Before you know it, it's too late. So I would really urge the next time you think of going on that lavish trip, and I'm not telling you don't do it, but maybe don't go on 3 lavish trips in a year. Maybe only go out to dinner once a month, not 3 times a week. Take that money that you would have spent, put it into another account, don't touch that, and then build it up and then invest. It's important to pile money and then invest it. I say like, I'm broke, but I'm not poor because I'm just constantly investing my money. I'm not very liquid when it comes to the cash. I'm not poor, but I'm broke. And that's important because especially with inflation, we're seeing inflation tick up in the world right now with everything that's going on. You just have cash sitting there, not invested. It's eroding, but this is a whole different topic. I want to get back to going off on a tangent here. I want to get back to the message though, is buy assets first. You're going to have to delay that gratification, but in the long run, you're going to be so happy you did so. Because when it comes down to it, you're going to be able to meet that financial freedom number. You're going to accumulate enough assets, cash flow, produce income that can support your life. So let's talk about that number. Like I said, it's going to be different for everyone. Let's say it's $10,000 a month. That's your financial freedom number that covers your lifestyle, covers all the expenses to fund that lifestyle. So what you're going to do is you're going to multiply it by 12. That's $120,000. So that's the total annual income you need to support that lifestyle. Now, how are you going to get that $120,000? Well, now we're going to back into it. So they say about the average return you get from the stock market is about 9.2%. That doesn't include inflation, doesn't include taxes, doesn't include fees you pay for the underlying investment vehicles or the fees you pay for if you have a broker. So once you back those out, I'm going to say you're probably around 6 to 7%. So at 7%, what you're going to do is you're going to divide 7% into that $120,000. And that's going to give you just over $1.7 million, meaning you need a nest egg of $1.7 million in order to get $10,000 a month. And that's assuming you're in some type of vehicle that's not going to have a lot of volatility. Because if you're solely in, say, stocks or a stock fund, there's going to be volatility. So if that drops down to 1.6, 1.5 million, and that same 7% return is not going to be adequate to fund your lifestyle. So once you get into something that kind of produces like a fixed return, it could be passively investing into real estate, for example, that's how much you're going to want a nest egg in order to get a 7% preferred return to then achieve your $10,000 a month. And now I came from the financial service industry, and the number there used to be anywhere from 3 to 4%. That should be your withdrawal withdrawal rate. So that means if you want $10,000 a month, $120,000 a year at 4%, I'll even be nice and go on the upper end of that spectrum, 4%. That means you need a $3 million nest egg. Now, that's not impossible, but it's definitely not as easy as 1.7 million. So my point here is you really need to start planning as early as possible to achieve these goals. Know the type of risk you're willing to take, the type of investment you want to make in order to fund your lifestyle. And you can't be invested in anything that could take a hit, that's volatile. Because if you dip down 1 year, then 4% of 2.8 million is not that $10,000 a month. But again, this is a whole different conversation. It's just important that you want to buy assets first before you buy liabilities. And that one thing will set you in the right path. The previous episode, I talked about house hacking. That's a great way to start to do it. House hack, get into your first rental property, live in it, have the other person pay your mortgage. And then when you move out and go to the next property, there's some rental income for you. All right, guys. Well, really appreciate you tuning in. Again, this is a 6-part series. So we've got 5 more parts after this. And at the last episode, I'm going to be releasing my guide to financial freedom that you'll be able to get on my website. But for now, tune in to the following episodes and catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial services industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's a little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.